Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And a fine tone it is, too. Good evening, Boogie Checkers, and a good evening to you. It is I, John Landecker, host and creator of the Boogie Check of Life. Are you a functional unit? Can you communicate telephonically? Then stop whatever you're doing and give me a call at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200.
Good evening, John.
Thank you, kid. Got to be on the line to be on the air. That's right. What is this? It's the Boogie Check of Life, meaning anything that happens in life can happen on the Boogie Check. But I'm not going to put it there. That is up to you. 312-981-7200. You know, my very good friend Bob Surratt does a great morning show around here, and every morning between his 5 and 5.30 segment, he takes the first call and then gives them a prize. And so, therefore, I felt it was my duty to rip him off. That was a good one. That was a good one. It's a good one. So the first call at 312-981-7200, going to win a prize. Right here on the Boogie Check of Life. Oh, wow. That didn't take long. Hello, Bill.
Hello, how are you?
I am fine. How are you doing, Bill?
Good, good. Just got home from work.
What do you do?
I'm a truck driver.
Oh, for what kind of truck? I've always... driving trucks is always something that's been on my mind. I mean, I never did it, obviously, but I think it's... I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a little rough out there now, the way people drive. I mean, I do. I drive the tractor trailers in the Chicago area locally.
Oh, man. You know, no, I know the way people drive because when I leave WGN some evenings a little after 10 and I get out on the expressway in or Lakeshore Drive, it's insanity. I mean...
Oh, that it is.
That... And I heard, did I hear Steve Bertrand talking about this yesterday? Because the Chicago police don't have they have a no pursuit policy now.
Right.
And yeah. It's the state police that take care of that, and they're not around. I mean,
right.
Oh, I could tell you stories, and I'm sure you could tell me. I'm sure you could.
I could tell you many, many stories. Yeah.
I bet you could. Well, you were the first caller, so we're going to send you a desktop weather station from American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Stay on the line there, Bill, so that we can get the information and get the weathermaker to you. Let's go to JR. Hey, JR, you're on Boogie Check.
Hey there. How are you?
Fine, JR. How are you, JR? Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I like to surprise you with little tidbits here and there, doing some of your work, your production and stuff for you.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I've got a little Chicago fire story for you.
Cool. I mean, not cool, but yeah.
Well, hot, actually. It was quite hot. My father was the mayor of New Buffalo, Michigan, I think from like 58 to 60, and then later on became postmaster, but his name was Theodore Russ or Ted Russ. And somewhere hidden in the back of the fire station, he found this horse-drawn pumper and a hose cart. If you've ever seen the Three Stooges where they're firemen and the horses come out of the fire station, similar to that, only the pumper there was steam-driven. This was actually had rails down each side, and three or four guys would stand on each side and, you know, left and right or up and down, it would pump water.
Right.
Well, he found out that was actually sent across the lake on a barge to Chicago to help fight the Chicago fire.
Now, hold on a second. You've seen this fire pumping equipment?
Yes. My father then had it restored. He sent it up to the prison in Iona, Michigan, which is a little east of Grand Rapids.
Right.
And the inmates there apparently had a big woodworking shop or something, and they totally restored both the pumper and the hose cart.
Yeah, no, that's what... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, and for many years, it was stored in kind of a metal building behind the brick city hall in New Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and then apparently it moved at some point to the Railroad Museum, to the, I guess that's the south side of town. And it sat there, and now I'm told it's been getting restored again, and it's in the new city hall that they've built. So there's an artifact from the Chicago fire that's actually in New Buffalo, Michigan.
Well, thanks for calling, JR. I appreciate it. You know, we didn't touch on that, but all fires, wherever they were, Chicago or any other place, 150 years ago, the firemen got to the fire by horse-drawn fire wagons. And the same thing for hoses and everything else. That's quite a story. Quite a story. Bob, hello.
Hello. Johnny Pestigo?
Johnny Pestigo, my man. Yeah.
Yeah. When were you Johnny Pestigo? I remember hearing Johnny Pestigo back in the 80s.
Oh, gosh. This is one of the low points of my career, I'd like to point out, first of all.
Sorry about that.
Well, hey, it happens. So this has got to be about 1988, 89, I think.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember tuning in that a little bit. did you have a guy call in named Bud? Like Bud-um?
Bud Pestigo. Yeah.
Bud-um Pestigo?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't called here. But I'm pumped.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I just thought of that when I heard of the Pestigo fire, and there you were talking about
it.
Right.
Yeah. Johnny Pestigo, the nicest man in the universe.
Yeah. And yeah. I hear you say you were from Michigan, right?
I am.
And I heard you say you were never up in the UP. I heard you say that.
I know. Isn't that disgusting? No, you're right. I've never been to the Upper Peninsula.
Well, I've been up to the UP, but I've never been to the other part, so I have.
Wait a minute. You've never been to the Mitten?
No, just to the UP. I'm from Wisconsin, so I've just been up that way.
Oh, well, I've got to get to the UP eventually. It's a bucket list
thing. Oh, yeah, I'll have to get to the rest of the state, too.
Thanks for calling, Bob. Appreciate it. You're smitten with a mitten, in love with the glove. That's what they say about the Lower Peninsula. Mm-hmm. Eric, hello. You're on Boogie Check.
Hello. You were talking about the Great Chicago Fire and horse-drawn fire engines. And,
yes.
In the days of yesteryear, all Chicago fire stations were spaced roughly a mile and a half apart because that's about as far as a team of horses could go full steam ahead without, you know, getting too tired. So when they spaced the fire stations, everything was based on that principle of how far the horse could run to a fire.
So they would obviously know the location of the fire, and then that would determine where the chain of events as far as horse-drawn fire wagons would start. If they were
right.
Only gonna,
so,
right, they'd only go a mile and a half.
Without getting too tired. Right.
Right, so it'd be they'd change horses.
No, they wouldn't change horses. It was just all the fire stations were, there were so many that spaced about a mile and a half apart.
Gotcha.
So when an alarm came in, then they had plenty of fire stations, to respond to it. But some of the older firehouses in Chicago still have a hayloft. I don't think there's too many anymore because they've been replaced with modernization and so forth. But that was the concept back then. Is you hook up the steamer, and they had some sort of an automatic contraption also that would hitch the horses within seconds.
Are you a firefighter, Eric?
I'm retired. I was on a suburb of Chicago, but I know a little bit about
I guess so.
the lore and yesteryear of Chicago.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
And here's another quick tidbit. All Chicago fire stations and most Chicago area fire stations have red and green lamps on the outside of the fire station for rapid identification that it's a fire station. And one of the original fire commissioners was he was a maritime admiral or something, and that's a nautical insignia, if you will.
Yeah.
So that kind of that's why all the fire engines and trucks in Chicago have red and green lamps, and fire stations have red and green lamps outside their garage doors.
Thanks for calling, Eric. I really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Such an informative boogie check. I'm not accustomed to. By the way, WGN, our office building, is right next to a Chicago fire station. Just thought I'd throw that in there. John, hello. You're on Boogie Check.
Hey, John. My daughter and her family live in Marinette, just a little ways from Peshtigo. They go to church in Peshtigo.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that for trivia. So, a question that will have you scratching your head.
Oh, boy.
How do you fix a broken jack-o'-lantern?
How do you fix a broken jack-o'-lantern?
That is the question.
Yeah. How do you fix a broken jack-o'-lantern?
With a pumpkin patch.
Oh, my God. Holy cow.
Ooh.
Ooh, I'm going to remember that one, John.
Oh, that one's good for the kids.
Yeah. No, that's good for everybody. How do you fix a broken jack-o'-lantern with a pumpkin patch? Mary Jane, he said.
Mary. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm great. I am calling because I knew a lot about Peshtigo. The Alice in Dairyland contest was held 50 years ago in Peshtigo in honor of that huge event. And it was so little known at the time it occurred because we had such poor media that were able to communicate it. It was just devastating. And so I learned a tremendous amount about it. I was a student at Marquette University at the time, and I was a runner-up for Alice in Dairyland. I believe it was the only time the Alice contest was held other than in the Madison area. But it was a tremendous experience for everyone. And I remember the story that struck me so much was a 19-year-old young mom had her baby wrapped up in a blanket. And, of course, they were running and running away from the fire towards water. She finally got far enough in the distance away from the fire that she could turn around and felt safe and realized all she had was the blanket.
Oh, God. Boy, that's a horrible story. Yep, I'm sure.
Wow.
And I just remember, I was 19 at the time, and I just remember how it just overwhelmed me.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a tremendous experience for all of us, and it brought a significant amount of knowledge and to the issue of all of the things and how poor our communications were then, and that's why the fire was so out of control in Peshtigo. They just couldn't get the word out to get away, and they couldn't get the word out to get help. So being a journalism communications major at the time, I was like, wow, we better never, ever let anything like that happen again.
Absolutely.
And that commitment that you have to getting help and what your role is in that was really run true to me. So anyway, that's my story.
Well, let me back up a minute. What was the Miss Dairy something or other? What was it?
Oh, Alice in Dairyland. It's
Wait a minute.
For the Department of Agriculture in the state of Wisconsin. So
Alice
in Dairyland. Yeah, don't laugh too hard. Marquette put it out the press release because I was sophomore.
Alice.
My mom was just afraid I was never going to graduate because you take a full year off. and work for the state, the Department of Ag, with your chaperone and all that. And you travel all over the country. And so it's been kind of a really, really cool thing. I was really young, but it was an, you know, pretty incredible experience for, you know, young journalism major to be out there, you know, talking and learning. And, you know, it was, it really moved me. I met a lot of wonderful people from other women from all over the state. And the goal, of course, is to promote agriculture in Wisconsin, and not only agriculture, but agribusiness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do all kinds of things. There's yeast, there's all kinds of food flavorings and all kinds of things that are done in Milwaukee and Wisconsin all over that's part of agribusiness. And we're just not a lot of cows out in the field.
Oh, I know that.
There you go.
Thanks for calling, Mary Jane. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ken. Ken, hello.
Hi. I'm calling because I recently was in Mackinac Island. And everything
Mackinac.
Was horse-drawn. Mackinac Island. Sorry.
Yeah.
My bad. But anyway, everything is horse-drawn. The garbage trucks, the carpenters.
That's right.
Do they have horse-drawn fire department up there now, or does anybody know that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty sure that when it comes to things like the police, fire, I can't the Coast Guard or whatever possibly would be rescue, that they've got the machines. Yeah. I mean the cars, the trucks.
They don't. I was only there for 24 hours. I saw nothing like that. I was just wondering if anybody knew that that was the case.
As a matter of fact, one of my classmates from my graduating class, hello there, doggy, was is the editor of the, what do they call it? Anyway, a newspaper up there, Mackinac Island. And I'm pretty sure that they, you know, have fire trucks just like we do, police cars just like we do. They just don't have other cars. You know?
I was almost certain about that myself, but when I spent all that time up there, I saw nothing but horses and carriages and everything else. So,
well, I appreciate the call, Ken. Thank you.